Welcome to the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. These recordings are produced weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Gospel Hall, Hospital Hill, Dunfermline, Fife, in Scotland. Be assured that you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I will now pass you over to this live recording taken at the Gospel Hall earlier this week. Thank you.
Now, I wonder if we could take our Bibles just for a few short moments this afternoon and look together firstly at Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. Luke's Gospel and chapter 2, and we'll break into the chapter at verse 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 7. Luke is bringing before us here the account of the birth of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. And thus he commences in verse 7 of chapter 2 of his Gospel to write these words. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Now that will suffice for the reading of the Word of God. Presently, we're going to allude to other passages of Scripture as time would allow. It was this little phrase in verse 10 that caught my eye during the week. I've spoken on it in the past here before, make no excuse for speaking on it again today. But in verse 10, we read these words, I bring you good tidings of joy. No, read it again. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Great joy. Great joy, why? Because God sent forth his Son into this world. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Now, just on the casual reading of these verses, you would think to yourself, well, if God has sent a Saviour, and a Saviour comes to save, for that is the purpose of a Saviour, what has he come to save and who has he come to save? Well, the Word of God tells us in this very verse that we've read, which shall be to all people. All people. God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the Saviour of all people. None excluded. For we read in Romans 3 verse 23, For all, there's the word again, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory or God's holy standard. None can measure up to God's holy standard. For the word of God declares all have sinned. Without exception. Without rule. None excluded. And so just as all have sinned, then the news of the arrival of Christ the Saviour born in Bethlehem was indeed great joy to all people, none excluded, none left out, to every nation under the sun. Here is this wonderful truth, this glorious revelation that Christ Jesus came and he was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes in Bethlehem. And thus, for centuries now, the Christian world has celebrated the birth of Christ, some for the right reason, the majority for the wrong reason. So we say to ourselves, well, if there was born a Saviour in Bethlehem, and he came to save his people from their sins, what are we referring to? Well, for that we go back to the very beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, we read these words, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now that word continually, if you look at your margin in your Bible, it will give this rendering of it. "And that the heart of man was only evil day by day." Day by day. Thousands of years have elapsed since the birth of Christ. And day by day, the wickedness of man, the depravity of man, the lowness that man will steep to. And we look around for the answers. And the word of God makes it clear. Sin. Sin. We are designed by fault because of Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden. We now have within us a DNA to sin, to do wrong, to commit that which is in opposition to God. God gives us the Ten Commandments. Which one of us can keep the Ten Commandments? Not one. And you look at the depravity of man. Andrew referred to it recently, one Sunday afternoon. He was reading at home a book concerning Adolf Hitler. I know of another friend of mine, I don't know if it's the same book, but incidentally he too is reading about Adolf Hitler. And a man who had an unquestionable quench to rule the world, to bring the world under the power of himself and of his countrymen. He was defeated, of course. We know that. Thank God he was defeated. But there is man's depravity to wreak havoc upon each other. And just again in this last week, we've seen the depravity of man because of sin. A little child, 16 months old or thereabouts, murdered by her so-called parents. And it's something that just seems to be coming before us day by day. The neglect of children in our society. The brutality shown to them, innocence. And their lives are taken before really they've begun. Was it the social services' fault? Perhaps it was. That's open to debate. Whatever the reason was, simply comes down to this. The wickedness of man is great over all the earth. Sin is rampaging through our streets, through our cities. What is the answer to our problems? What is the answer to the problem within? The answer to the problem within is to find Christ as Saviour. It's to take away the wickedness, to take away the sin, to make us right with a holy God. And for that, we turn to Ephesians 2 and verse 4. What's the answer to great wickedness? God says the answer to great wickedness is to demonstrate my great love towards man. And how did he do that? Well, he sent his Son, a God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us. People speak today of love. Well, love can be superficial. Love can be fanciful. You know, our definition of love is simply this. You love me and I'll love you. If you don't like me, then in turn, perhaps I won't like you. You say a wrong word against me. You cross me. You stab me in the back. And my love for you will get to almost breaking point, if not broken completely. That's the attitude of love. Our attitude towards each other with regards to love is conditional. But God's love towards us is unconditional. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love is immeasurable. God's love is unsurmountable. God's love is a love that you and I cannot comprehend, in that he sent his Son. Now, he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew his Son was going to be rejected, despised, set at naught. He knew he was going to be the one who would be spat upon and ultimately crucified at the place called Calvary. He knew that. And the wonder of it all, the great love of God, the mercy of God is this, that in that he sent his Son. Little wonder Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 2 of the epistle about his love towards us. No, he defines it better with great love. Great love. A love far greater than our love. A great love. And so we come back now to Luke chapter 2. For out of that great love comes great joy. Could you imagine those shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night? What was about to happen had never happened before. What was about to take place that evening was something that only took place the once, never to be repeated. There they were, attending their flock by night, as no doubt they had done in previous nights. Those nights might have been cold nights, might have been round a little campfire as they tended their flock. And suddenly, without warning, there appears to them the angel of the Lord and says to those shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour." And as we celebrate Christmas again this coming Saturday, if the Lord will, the world again will turn its attention to the festivities, the turkey, the tinsel, everything that goes around Christmas in a materialistic way. We'll think about everything on Christmas Day other than the real reason for the season. What is the real reason for Christmas? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour." What a gift. A gift that we didn't earn. A gift that we didn't pay for. A gift that comes unconditionally. A gift to you and I, and to the world at large today, to all men, women, boys, girls. Every nation under the sun can benefit from this wonderful gift, the gift of the Saviour, the gift of salvation. For after all, that is what the Saviour gave. He gave himself at the place called Calvary. He gave himself that we might have salvation, salvation from our sins. And so, of course, when we come to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, again, the writer of the Hebrews reminds us about this great salvation. He says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" You see, everything about God and what we've read this afternoon is great. It was great wickedness. It was great love. It's great joy. It's not just salvation, but it's great salvation because it comes at a price. And what is the price? Not paid for in money, but paid for by the precious blood of Christ. It comes at a tremendous cost. Hence the reason that when we're saved, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, when we ask him into our hearts to make us right and reconcile us with a holy God, to make us fit for heaven, Because of the price of our salvation, he demands something from us. He demands this, that we walk for his pleasure, for his purpose, for his glory. He says in the book of Corinthians that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, he is a new creation. The old things, the things associated with sin, are past. He says, behold, all things become new. And I am, effectively, if I can use this language, I am under new management. I belong to Christ. Why? Because I'm better than someone else? No. Why? Because I attend a church? No. I read my Bible? No. I say my prayers? No. I belong to Christ because I have accepted his gift of salvation. He was born to be the Saviour. Listen to the words of Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Or verse 11 rather. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. That's what he is. He is a Saviour. But when Mary was speaking about him, she said, my Saviour. He is a Saviour. That is true. Of that there can be no doubt. He is a Saviour. That's what he came to be, a Saviour. But more importantly, is he your Saviour? Mary says he is my Lord and my Saviour. It was a personal thing for Mary. It was a personal thing for me the day I came to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew he was a Saviour. I knew he was born in Bethlehem. I had celebrated Christmas with my parents. And I remembered the story of Bethlehem. But until I accepted him as my Saviour, then that's when I enjoyed and tasted his great salvation that it speaks to us of about. But then I thought of another great. I thought if I, the word of God says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We're not going to neglect it, are we? We're not going to turn our back upon God's gift of salvation, are we? You're given a gift. At Christmas time, Christmas morning, you expect to get a gift. At least one, if not more. And that person gives to you that gift. You can do one of two things with that gift. You either accept it, or you reject it. Now, if they've gone to get you the gift, and they've perhaps spent money on the gift, and out of love, they give you the gift, surely you're not going to refuse it. It would be hurtful to that person who's giving the gift if you refuse the gift. How hurtful it must be to a holy God every time you think of the gift of salvation in Christ at Bethlehem and you reject that gift. What will the end be of those who neglect so great salvation? Well, if you turn to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, there now we're beyond death, we're into the great eternity. And John gives us a revelation of God upon a great white throne. And those who reject the message of the gospel, those who reject the gift of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who at Bethlehem was born to be the Saviour of the world, the one who died upon the cross at Calvary, to give to you salvation, to make you fit for heaven. You reject the message of the gospel. You reject the claims of Christ as Saviour in your life. Then one day, ultimately, you will stand at the great white throne. And the books are opened. And verse 15 of that chapter says this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The portion for those who reject the Saviour that was born at Bethlehem, that died upon the cross at Calvary. The end, if we neglect so great salvation, is this, that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What a tragedy. What an end. Separated from God, not for a few days, not for a few weeks, Not for a month, not for a year, not for a decade, not for a century, not for a millennia, but forevermore. But do we want to end upon such a tragic note? No. Because if I go into Revelation 21 and verse 10, John there is given an even greater sight. Not now a great white throne, but it says this, he carried me away in spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me a great city, descending out of heaven, coming down to rest upon earth. This is the city that we who are saved by the grace of God, we who belong to Christ, it's a city that we will occupy for eternity. And read chapters 20 and 21 and 22 at your leisure. And read there concerning the beauty of the city that God has prepared for Christ and for the nations of those who are saved. The word of God says, and I love this, in chapter 21, the nations of the saved shall walk in it. Nations. Thousands and thousands, millions upon millions of believers from all different walks of life, from all different nationalities will be there. Why? Simply because they took the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour that was born at Bethlehem, and they took him to be their own and personal Saviour. What a day that will be. Wonderful. We'll be ecstatic. We'll be amazed to be in his presence. You read in Revelation 21 about the majesty of the city. A street of pure gold. A city that is 1,500 miles square. Majestic in its character. Beautiful. Every aspect of it. There'll be no need of the sun, no need of the moon. Day will fall upon day, there will be no night there. You say, what are you going to do in that city for all these years? We're going to praise him. We're going to serve him. And the hymn writer has put it beautifully when he said this, a million scenes of rare beauty will demand that I view them, but Jesus will outshine them all. What a hope, what a triumph. Great wickedness, Genesis 6. Great love, Ephesians chapter 2. Great joy at Bethlehem upon the triumphant birth of Christ. Great salvation that he offers everyone. But beware, if you die without Christ, the great white throne. I dare to say a great book is opened and your name not there. Cast into the lake of fire. What's the flip side? A great city. A great city to which those who are saved are destined for that land. The choice is yours. This Christmas time, reflect upon the Saviour. Reflect upon the gift that was given. And I would urge you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of Holy Scripture. With this I close. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.com. www.lifeonearth.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.